This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of December 1st, 2011, convening at 5:41 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:43 Eastern Standard Time. Summer Reese, Chair, Bill Crozier, Vice Chair, Afia Wangaza, Secretary. And we are meeting tonight for proposed bylaws amendments, among other things. Madam Secretary, could you please call the roll?
Ken Aaron?
Here.
Teresa Allen? Can't hear you, Teresa. Jessica Apollinar?
I'm here.
This Teresa Allen is present. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Rodrigo Argueta?
Presente.
Thank you. Nia Bediaco?
Present.
Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Carolyn Burden? Can't hear you, Carolyn.
Oh,
Lydia Brisson?
Yes. Here.
Lydia's here. Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis? Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Kathy. Heather Gray? Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Sophia Wangaza, present. Kimberly Orendorf. Can't hear you, Kimberly. Laura Priebus. Can't hear you, Laura. Marcel Reed. Can't hear you, Marcel. Summer Reese.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Dan Siegel.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Andrea Turner. Can't hear you, Andrea. Arlene Engelhardt.
Present.
LaVarne Williams.
Present.
John Gary. Can't hear you, John Gary. Kathy Davis. Heather sent an email saying that she thought that she would not make it because of the SEC hearing. So far she's not here. Kimberly Orendorf. Can't hear you, Kimberly. Laura Priebus.
I'm here now.
Thank you. Marcel Reed. Can't hear you, Marcel. Andrea Turner.
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Understand your last thing. Okay.
This is Bruce Wolf. You know, I'm here.
Thank you.
You didn't call me.
Sorry. We do have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I appreciate that. Okay, folks, what we have on the agenda for tonight is the bylaws amendments. I think everyone has had ample time to read them, I hope. And we're going to take them one by one.
Summer?
Yes.
Summer?
Yes, go ahead, Lydia.
Yes. So are we going to approve the agenda? I was going to recommend that we put approving the January PMB meeting before your report, so right after the bylaws amendment.
That's fine. Yeah, Bill and I.
There's more than the bylaws on the agenda.
No, I know that. Bill and I had discussed doing it during my report, before my report, whatever, just so we get it done as soon as we're done with the amendments. So, yeah, if there's no objection with that, that's fine with me.
But I'm saying, can we first approve the agenda so that?
Yes, but I'm aware of the fact that we need to approve the January meeting with the agenda. So, besides that change, are there any other proposed changes to the agenda that was sent out?
This is Campbell.
Go ahead, Campbell.
Yes, I had wanted the standing rules, which had been unfinished business, to be considered.
I believe I did make a ruling when the standing rules took up 45 minutes of moving around on the agenda and were not moved up, that I would not consider moving those again because that would be dilatory to expend time to move the same item on the agenda, which had failed to have been moved last time.
Point of order.
Yes.
Except for the bylaws amendments, which was what was originally noticed for this meeting, everything else is really a continuation of the last meeting. So it takes a two-thirds vote to change that.
That's correct.
So
but I'm also
waste a lot of time on the agenda moving things around.
And I would also rule anything, and I do mean anything, that someone attempted to move at the last meeting or the meeting before. There were attempts to move, as I recall, four different items on the agenda, including all of those standing rules. The movement of those items was defeated on all of them, but it took almost an hour to do that. I will rule as dilatory the attempt to move any of those items up on the agenda again, because we've already done that once, and they did not move. They stayed exactly where they were, and that's where they're going to stay right now. If you'd like to challenge the ruling of the chair, that's fine, but I'm not in any way going to entertain moving the exact same item that nobody could have mustered the votes to move last time.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is that we're supposed to operate according to Robert's Rules of Order, and this is a violation of Robert's Rules of Order.
Robert's Rules of Order also says it is dilatory to revisit the same issue over and over again. This is revisiting the same issue of moving the same item. It's the movement of the exact same item. I'm sorry, Campbell?
It's consideration of an issue.
And we voted on that at the last meeting, I believe, and it was defeated. It was not moved. That's why it's still sitting in unfinished business. So my ruling is that this is dilatory because you attempted to move it up on the agenda at our last meeting. We're not able to do so. If you'd like to challenge the ruling of the chair, please feel free to do so.
Sure.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Who's the second, please?
Second.
For the record, who is the second, please, on that?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Is there discussion on this matter?
Very briefly, this is a matter that should be considered. It's been rolled over and rolled over, and, you know, it's a continuing violation of Robert's Rules of Order, and I just would like to have certainly a, of course, a roll call vote on this. And,
certainly, and where are you attempting to move it exactly before I ruled it out of order? Where were you trying to move it from unfinished business to where? Just for the Secretary's sake.
Since we're noticed for the bylaws, I would like to move it to following the bylaws.
Thank you. Okay. So I've ruled against moving it. You've challenged the ruling of the chair. Is there any further discussion on the challenge to the ruling of the chair before we take a vote? Okay, so a yes vote will uphold the ruling of the chair, which is not to move anything because this is dilatory on this particular issue because it was attempted to be moved last time, and no vote will overturn that ruling. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll?
Point
please?
Of information?
Sure, Bill.
So the way you stated it, that means it would be before that motion that Lydia was referring to.
That's correct. Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Madam Secretary, if you
can
call.
And what is the...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
A yes vote will support the ruling of the chair, which means we are not moving standing rules from unfinished business to following the bylaws amendments. A no vote will overturn my ruling and allow Campbell to raise that issue for a vote.
Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Teresa Allen? Can't hear you, Teresa.
I say yes. I pulled the decision of the
Jessica Apollinar.
Okay, I think I just got confused. A yes is to move, a no is to support the ruling of the chair, correct?
No, a yes supports the ruling of the chair, a no does not.
Okay, good. I did get confused. Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta. Nia Bediako. Can't hear you, Nia.
No.
Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Lydia Brazan.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Can't hear you, Kathy.
I'm here, but I don't know. I just got on the call. I don't know what you're voting on.
That's fine, Kathy. We're voting on, I made a ruling. Campbell wanted to move standing rules from unfinished business to after bylaws amendments. I ruled it dilatory because that exact same issue came up at a previous meeting, and it failed to be moved at that time. He's challenging the ruling of the chair. A yes vote upholds the chair, no vote does not.
Okay, yes.
Heather Gray. Campbell Johnson.
No.
Ifeo Wangaza, no. Kimry Orndorff. Can't hear you, Kimry. Laura Priebus?
No.
Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes, to uphold the chair.
Dan Siegel?
No.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Can't hear you, Andrea.
No.
Thank you. Bruce Wolf?
Yes.
Okay. Rodrigo, how do you vote? Can't hear you, Rodrigo. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Okay. Let's see. Kimmery, are you here? All right. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yeses. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 noes.
Madam Secretary, this is Teresa Allen. Did you get my vote supporting the chair?
Yes, I did.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so we're done with that. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
This is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. Go ahead.
This is a question. At the last meeting, I thought we had a time-sensitive issue where we were supposed to, the board was supposed to select, like, an election supervisor or something for the recall?
Yes, I was just going over that right now, and I see that it's on the closed session. I'm not sure that it's supposed to be on the closed session and shouldn't be on the open session, actually. It's on the closed session. Does anyone have an objection?
Yeah, I had raised it in open session last meeting.
Sure.
And then...
Yeah, no, and remember, I had
driving, so I can't look at the previous agenda.
I have a question on that. I don't understand what the PNB has to do. It's the ED who would hire the election supervisor.
She would hire the election supervisor. We don't have to approve that. There does appear to be something in the bylaws with our voting that, like, that the recall should go forward. That's why I tried to bring it up in our last meeting as a time-sensitive issue that we should go ahead and at least take a vote on. So.
Arlene to the SAC.
Thank you, Arlene. Please jump in here.
You know, we're ready to go ahead, but I think, you know, we may decide that what you did in Washington approved it, but there's nothing in the minutes that actually reflects that.
Right. Thank you, Arlene. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think in the bylaws, it specifically says that the PNB can appoint
the election supervisor for recall. I can try to look it up really quickly.
I can't see how that would be since we couldn't even touch the election supervisor in the actual elections. That wouldn't make any sense to me.
Yes. This is Tracy.
I'm looking it up. I'm looking up actually the legal counsel's note to us on this too, that it cites the bylaws, so I'll have it handy. Although right now we're just dealing with the agenda, so we don't have to necessarily, I can settle this issue before we get to that agenda item, but we don't have to spend too much time discussing the substance of it here. Go ahead, Tracy.
Arlene to the stack.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, Tracy and then Arlene.
Two things. Nia, that is not in the bylaws. The second point is if you are discussing hiring someone, that's a contractual issue, and contractual issues in the hiring of independent contractors is obviously executive session. PNB has nothing to do with that. If you are talking about a vote, you had that discussion in Washington in executive session. You could move it to open session, but I think what you're doing is simply continuing what you did in closed session in D.C. So if it was proper to do it in closed session in D.C., it's probably proper to continue that in closed session tonight.
Thank you, Tracy.
Back to.
Okay, Arlene, and then Ken.
The big thing is that under the timeline that was established when the guidelines were passed in 2009, I was not part of the foundation at that time, the ballots would need to be sent out between 45 and 60 days after the election was certified. It was certified on November 1st, so that means they need to go out between December 15th and 30th, and so that means we're really under a time crunch on this.
So, folks, we've got it scheduled for... Oh, Ken, go ahead. I'm sorry, before I talk.
No, I'll pass.
Ready to that can handle it.
And this is Lydia.
Okay, hold on. Thank you. Arlene, did you have anything further? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I had selected someone that is neutral that would be able to handle it. And so I'm ready to move as soon as you give me the approval to go ahead.
Thank you, Arlene. Okay. Ken and then Lydia. Lydia. Ken and then Lydia. Sorry,
yeah.
Just reiterating the stack.
That's
Ken.
All right.
I think if it can be passed without objection and not debate, then we can do an open session. But other than that, if it's going to get into discussions, it should be in closed session. I know that's an arbitrary, but that's the fact of it.
Okay. Thank you. Lydia?
I was just going to say we don't know if a contract is involved. I have no knowledge of what Arlene has, of course. I had recommended Legal Women Voters or some nonprofit organization expert in this and may or may not contact, but also the object of the recall may consider recusing herself. We have to be careful of conflicts as we proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, folks, look, it sounds like we may end up having a discussion involving who gets hired for this, which was rightly... brought up that raises contractual issues. I think some of the procedural minutiae is fine for open session. I would, as usual, love it if we actually got down to some business, being a half hour into our agenda and not yet having done anything. I'm going to leave it in closed session unless there's a strong objection, because I think we may traipse across that line that involves confidential matters, and that way we can deal with it there. But we do need to deal with it tonight and get this over with because we've got some time deadlines facing us. So are there any more changes, amendments, any more tweaking that must be done with the open session, or can we approve the open session agenda and get on with business for the evening? Okay. And hearing no objections, going once, twice. Excellent. Thank you, everybody. Okay, so, Madam Secretary, if you could mark the agenda as approved, I would appreciate that. And a note for the secretaries, because I forgot to ask this. The secretary did say she had received a note from Heather Gray regarding her. We're all aware that she was participating in the FCC hearings today. Is there any objection to giving Heather an excused absence for the evening?
Without objection.
Thank you. For our secretary's sake, they have that noted for the record. Okay, thank you, everyone. All right, good. That brings us
to Madam Chair.
Okay, hold on. I heard a female voice. And I'm sorry, I heard
it's
a female.
It's Marcel. I just want to say I'm on the call.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcel. Anyone else? I heard Campbell, I thought.
I was just going to mention that Marcel had a medical emergency yesterday to deal with, and I didn't know if maybe something had occurred today.
Okay.
I hadn't talked with him this afternoon.
Thank you, Campbell.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. All right, folks, anything else? All right, very good. So why don't we get down to these nice bylaws amendments that we're looking at and see what we've got going on here. We have amendment, the first amendment.
Excuse me, point of information.
Yeah, Fia, go ahead, please.
If you would again point out the process for locating the...
Oh, of course, thank you. Very good. Yes, yeah, so for the sake of the stream, as well as for my colleagues here, you can find them quite easily by going to the Pacifica.org website. They are posted on the website. Go to the P&B tab, and you click on P&B tab, and then it pops down. I think it's the last item on the tab. It says proposed bylaws amendments. Click that one open, and it's nicely laid out with the existing text on the left and the proposed text on the right. Hopefully everyone has had an opportunity to read these and, you know, can briefly refresh one's memory as to how one wishes to vote. I suppose for the sake of the stream, I should go ahead and read each one, and then we should take a vote on it, even though that seems a little time-consuming to me, but I'm going to go ahead and do that and just highlight the differences, and we'll just try to rock and roll through these. We have 10 of them, everybody, so let's try to stay on point.
Madam Chair?
Madam Chair. I don't think this is... go ahead, Campbell.
Got Campbell and then Ken.
It sounds as though your voice is a little bit strained here, and I didn't know if you maybe wanted to delegate that to someone else at this time.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you, Campbell. Well, and I think there may be an objection to my even reading the whole thing for time's sake. I just want us to get through it. So go ahead. Thank you, Campbell. Ken?
Ken, I object to reading them because I'd rather reserve that time for potential discussion.
Why don't I just read?
The materials are available, and once you give how the people on the stream can download them because they are currently listening on the Internet.
This is Lydia.
Hold on.
And let me finish, Lydia. So they already have access to the Internet. They can download the document. Yes, I think it will be adequate for you to read the title and maybe if there's a subtitle. But to go through this pages on some of them, it'll just eat up all the time in the meeting and deny us the right to discuss and debate the issues.
Okay, that doesn't take into account people who may be listening or in front of a computer or in cars, but go ahead, Lydia.
No, pardon me. The only way you can listen is over the Internet.
Right, well, you can listen on your phone over the Internet while driving. Also, you can be a director who's talking on a phone, but I don't want to debate it. I agree with you. Reading takes time. I just need to get a feel for the pulse here. Lydia?
Right, yes. Yeah. So I was going to say, as one who is driving and have signed on to... I don't know how many I signed on to. I think one or two. But anyway, the point is that I would like to have it read. I also think in terms of legalities, future challenges or whatever, that we're held in good stead, that we have done this publicly. No one reads faster than Summer, so as much as I would like to take her vocal things condition into consideration, she can whip through these faster than we can get a sense.
Thank you, Lydia. That
was a compliment, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll do our legal disclaimers, too. And I have to agree with Lydia, and all due respect, the number of meetings I participated on where I've just been on the phone and haven't been in front of a computer, just because they've been posted doesn't mean everyone remembers when you go, well, now we're on Amendment 4, what that is. So I think probably I should just whip through them and let's just, that way people know what they're voting on and don't get confused. And really we should just try to limit debate because one should know whether one wants to support these things or not. That is a point of clarity, which I said while we were on the close before we went on the stream. Many of us directors signed on to many of these amendments, not necessarily because we particularly support them or anything. It's not an endorsement, but simply like orphan laws to make sure that things had an opportunity to be voted upon because some of these have been lingering for an extensive period of time, including from last year's term from previous directors. So I personally allowed my name to be attached to any amendment that was still in need of signatures in order to go forward so that it had an opportunity to see the light of day. So that being said, I'm going to start with Amendment 1, and then we're just going to go through these as quickly as we can. So proposed Amendment number 1, re-in-person meetings of the Pacifica National Board, Article 6, Meetings of the Board of Directors, Section 1, Time and Place of Meetings. Background. The amendment intends to allow greater flexibility and latitude to the board in keeping with the needs and realities of the Pacifica Foundation in any given year. Financial constraints and weather events are among the considerations the board may factor into their yearly scheduling of in-person meetings. The amendment allows for a range of between 2 to 4 meetings per calendar year. It also removes the specificity of naming the months in which in-person meetings are held, beyond that of the annual meeting, quote-unquote, in late January. And then existing text and replacement text, proposed text. Existing text is: the annual meeting of the Board of Directors shall take place in late January each year or at such other times and places as agreed by a majority vote of the Board of Directors. The Board shall also regularly meet in March, June, and September of each year. The 4 regular board meetings shall rotate through the 5 Foundation radio station areas so that meetings do not take place twice in the same radio station area until a meeting has been held in all other station areas. This would be replaced by the proposed text, which reads as follows. The in-person annual meeting of the Board of Directors shall take place in late January each year or at such other times and places as agreed by a majority vote of the Board of Directors. The board shall meet in person 2 to 4 times each calendar year as agreed by a majority vote of the Board of Directors. The 2 to 4 in-person regular board meetings shall rotate through the 5 Foundation radio station areas so that meetings do not take place twice in the same radio station area until a meeting has been held in all other station areas. And this was signed on to by Teresa Allen, Rodrigo Argueta, Nia Bediaco, Lydia Brazone, Campbell Johnson, Laura Privis, Marcel Reed, Dan Siegel, and Andrea Turner. So obviously the salient difference is no longer requiring 4 in-person meetings per year and specifying which months in which those are to occur, but rather allowing 2 to 4 meetings per year without specifying months. Otherwise, it would leave the bylaws the same as they currently are. Discussion.
This is Lydia.
Lydia.
Okay. So as you can see already, even in the existing bylaws, there is some flexibility in terms of, like, that annual meeting. It's left up to the board, which, in fact, this year we moved to the end of February, and it would have been challenging even if conditions were conducive to having all 4, to hold all 4 once you start moving that first meeting. And there's also other flexibility, for example, with the bylaws, built into the bylaws, how many times you can bring bylaws to the board. The board is afforded another opportunity. It should be once a year. However, the board can vote, blah, blah. So all I'm trying to introduce is the flexibility of having between 2 and 4 meetings for some fairly obvious reasons. And we have, you know, everything from financial challenges to whatever, but we also may really want to do 4, let's say we all decide we need to do a mini rewrite of the bylaws and so many moving parts, or some emergency situation in particular, that even those of us that favor having 3 meetings a year, which is my personal preference, that we might definitely, regardless of finances, all each of us raise money to have that 4th meeting or whatever the conditions. But the best bylaws sections that we have in our bylaws are the ones that allow some flexibility. And so I urge us to vote yes.
Thank you, Lydia.
Bill,
go ahead, please.
We've already gone 4 minutes on this amendment. We've only allocated 5, and we haven't voted yet. So let's really try to keep the discussion to a minimum. I'll just say we don't get much done in our telephone meetings, and the in-person meetings are the only ones we get things done in.
Thank you. Anybody else with Stag?
Yes.
Alex.
Teresa.
Alex and Teresa. Go ahead, please, Alex.
Carolyn.
Okay. I'll try to be brief also. We spent innumerable number of hours discussing when we're going to have our meetings this year. And this kind of flexibility is just an open invitation for future Pacifica boards to keep discussing their own internal affairs instead of getting the work of the foundation done. So I'm opposed to this. I don't think there's anything wrong with the bylaws as they stand on it. And if we need some flexibility, we can still do it. We don't need this amendment at all.
Madam
Chair,
Campbell Johnson.
Okay, we're at time. Is there a motion to extend time 5 minutes or not?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
We're not going to have time for this.
All right, you know how this goes, kids.
Well, if we stop lecturing each other, we'll have enough time.
Yes, there we go. Who is
the
second?
To change the time, to extend time, will take a two-thirds vote.
Right. Well, we get two choices. We either slop our way across the timelines, we cut it short and just get to a vote on everything, or we extend time. I'm just here to serve. So we've got a second. Is there opposition to extending 5 minutes?
Yes.
I oppose it.
Yes. Okay. Let's take a vote. Two-thirds vote to extend time is what's required. A yes vote will extend time for 5 minutes on proposed amendment number one. A no vote will not. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please? Thank you.
Ken Aaron?
No.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Jessica Apollinar?
Can I pass?
Yep. Rodrigo Argueta? Can't hear you right.
No.
Okay. Let's see. Nia Bediaco? Can't hear you, Nia. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
No.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Kathy Davis? Can't hear you, Kathy.
Abstain.
Heather Gray. Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Ifeoluwa Ngaza. Yes. Kimri Orendoff. Can't hear you, Kimri. Laura Priebus.
Kimri, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Laura, yes.
Laura Priebus.
Yes.
Marcel Reed.
Yes.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
Dan Siegel. Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg?
No.
Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Bruce Wolf?
No.
Who didn't answer? Dan Siegel. Didn't hear your... How do you vote? Can't hear you, Dan Siegel. Okay, Jessica, how do you vote?
Yes, no.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3.
Madam Secretary, did you get Nia's vote?
No, I did not. How do you vote, Nia?
I remember hearing you call her.
Oh, I'm sorry, see, I thought you heard me. I said, no. I don't think we should extend. No, sorry.
Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 no.
So it fails because it's not two-thirds. Moving on. Great. Thank you. So, Madam Secretary, then we are at the point that we vote on proposed amendment number one. Everyone's heard the text of the existing bylaw and the proposed bylaw. A yes vote will change. We'll pass it by us, not by the LSBs, but anyhow. A yes vote will support the proposed change to the bylaws, and a no will keep the existing text. Madam Secretary, could you go ahead and call the roll, please, on proposed amendment number one?
Bruce Wolf.
No.
Andrea Turner.
I vote yes for the proposed text.
Alex Steinberg.
No.
Dan Siegel. Can't hear you, Dan. Tracy Rosenberg.
I vote no.
Marcel Reed.
Yes.
Laura Priebus.
Sorry, what are we voting on here?
Amendment number one, proposed amendment number one.
Again? Okay, yes.
You're passing?
No, it's not yet.
Oh, thank you. Kimberly Orendorf. Can you hear you, Kimberly?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, Fia. Ooh, passes. Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Heather's not here. Kathy Davis.
I pass.
Bill Crozier.
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No.
Okay. Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
No.
Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Mia Vediaco.
Yes.
Yeah. Rodrigo Argueta?
Yes.
Jessica Apollinar?
No.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Ken Aaron? Okay. Kathy Davis.
No.
Did you call my name? This is Lydia.
Yes, I did, and I understood you to vote yes.
Okay, thank you.
What about you, Afia? What are you voting?
I'm going to vote yes. Dan, we still can't hear you. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yes, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, no.
Okay.
And let's see. No, it's been...
Okay.
There's a lot of background noise, folks. I'm tired. Don't make me tell everybody pound, pound, one over and over again, please. If you're not voting, if you're not talking, if you're not seeking to be recognized, please mute your phones.
Oh.
Some of us are sick and tired tonight. Thank you. See, it got quieter. Thank you. And whatever little noise I'm still hearing, please mute also.
Madam Chair, may we have the count, please, the final count?
11 yes, 8 no.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
So the motion fails. So it fails, correct? Because it's 12 votes. Isn't that what we were told?
Correct.
That is correct. Yeah, it has to be the total body of the board. That's correct. Motion fails. Next motion. Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary. So if you could note for the record, please, what the count was, 11 yes, 8 no, motion fails. Note that in the record so there's no confusion on the part of people that think it's only a majority of those present rather than a majority of the board as a whole. Thank you very much. Next proposed amendment is proposed amendment number 2, re-PNB meeting notice, Article 6. Meetings of the Board of Directors, Section 4, Notice. Background. The current notice for special telephone PNB meetings, and I'm not sure who wrote this. I presume the proponent of the specific motion also wrote the background.
You don't need to read the background.
Well, all right. Nobody wants it? I was reading it on the
phone. It may be useful for the...
I think it is a little bit helpful because it does sort of shorten it, although I guess what I'm saying is this is not written by a legislative analyst the way it is on a ballot initiative. So if you hear something that sounds like it's kind of pro for the particular amendment, that's probably because it was written by somebody who wrote the amendment. Thank you. The current notice for special quote-unquote telephone PNB meetings are excessively restrictive. Is excessively restrictive, difficult to comply with, and exceed CPB requirements. CPB requires that, quote, the station makes on-air announcements on at least 3 consecutive days, once during each calendar quarter, that explain the station's open meeting policy and provide information about how the public can obtain information regarding specific dates, times, and locations, unquote. If this amendment is adopted, it will help ensure reasonable notice by establishing practical requirements. It would delete the requirement for telephonic notice to directors and reduce the number of on-air broadcast announcements. Existing text. Notice of every regular meeting of the Board of Directors, stating the time and place of said meeting and the purposes thereof, shall be sent to each director by first-class mail, facsimile, or email, according to the preference each director specifies in writing to the Foundation's secretary at least 30 days before any such meeting. Special meetings shall require only 7 days advance notice, but shall also require telephonic notice by leaving a message at the telephone number given to the Foundation secretary for such notice by each director and shall specify the purpose of the meeting. No additional business not stated in the notice shall be conducted at a special meeting. Notice of all meetings shall be placed on the Foundation's website and announced a minimum of 3 times daily on air for 5 consecutive days on all Foundation radio stations, beginning whenever reasonably possible, no later than 10 days before the date of said meeting. Notice of a meeting here under will be deemed waived by a director who affirmatively agrees to attend a meeting or to waive this advance notice requirement, signs a waiver of notice or a written consent to hold the meeting, or who attends the meeting without protesting prior to the meeting or upon commencement of the meeting to the lack of notice to that director. The proposed text would read, notice of every regular meeting of the Board of Directors stating the time and place of said meeting and the purposes thereof shall be sent to each director by first-class mail, facsimile, or email, according to the preference each director specifies in writing to the Foundation's secretary at least 30 days before any such meeting. Special meetings shall require only 7 days advance notice by the same methods and shall specify the purpose of the meeting. No additional business not stated in the notice shall be conducted at a special meeting. Notice of all meetings shall be placed on the Foundation's website. In addition, each station shall make on-air announcements on at least 3 consecutive days, once during each calendar quarter, that explain the station's open meeting policy and provide information about how the public can obtain information regarding specific dates, times, and locations. Notice of a meeting here under will be deemed waived by a director who affirmatively agrees to attend a meeting or to waive this advance notice requirement, signs a waiver of notice or written consent to hold the meeting, or who attends the meeting without protesting prior to the meeting or upon commencement of the meeting to the lack of notice to that director. The following directors have proposed Amendment Number 2. Bill Crozier, Summer Reese, Carolyn Burton, Tracy Rosenberg, Ken Aaron, and Alex Steinberg. That is proposed Amendment Number 2. Discussion. Any discussion? We don't have to if you don't feel like it.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
I mean, that whole section, is very torturous. It's one of the complicated parts of the bylaws. But I think one of the things is that there are some basic issues that need to be resolved first, otherwise it becomes a ripple effect. You have to read the entire bylaws to see what else it affects, blah, blah. So my main concern with this is that it doesn't address the basic issue, which is that we don't have special meetings every month. We keep having regular meetings every month, and now we've added these wonderful continuation meetings for the rest of our lives. So in order to fix something that should be fixed, more basically. But the other thing is that if we were to have that part really fixed so that we could have monthly telephonic meetings in addition to the in-person meetings, is that then when we really
were to apply why special meetings were allowed for in the bylaws, which means something of an emergency nature comes up, then that should still require a phone call, because we've all been out of email touch for one reason or another. Right now the winds are blowing here in L.A., or everything goes down. So, you know, I think that I would still support having a phone call. There are enough of us that can call the other people in our station. So, and the affiliates.
So you're speaking against
I'm speaking against it.
Thank you. Okay, very good. Yes. When the winds are blowing in L.A. We're at time. Beautiful. well, you know, I do think maybe on time there is something to be said. If I'm reading the text, I'm not sure that's entirely fair to take it out of discussion if people wish to discuss a little bit. Is there anyone else who needs to be heard?
The point of order, I would at least hope that we at least have one party more.
I agree. I mean, you got to have at least a pro and a con, even when you're shortening things. Is there a pro? I'm hearing tremendous background sound, airport, coffee shop, static, something, loud, noisy, with extra conversation, static wind. Folks, if you are not currently speaking, please mute your phones. Thank you. Ken, did you wish to speak pro, or are you just speaking as a point of order?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you what we're voting on, really.
Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard on the matter?
Well, it's Bill. I'll just say something quick.
Go ahead.
The changes are pretty minimal, and right now the it's almost impossible to fulfill the requirements in the bylaws. They exceed what the CPB requires, and they're just excessive. So what's changed is to make it a little more reasonable and compatible with the CPB requirements,
okay,
instead of exceeding them.
Thank you, Bill. All right, Madam Secretary, there's no motion to extend time. I haven't heard one, so could you go ahead and call the roll? Yes vote will change it so that to the proposed text, and no vote will support the existing bylaws text.
Just a moment.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And again, folks, I mean, it changes the notice requirements, making them somewhat easier to comply with.
Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Jessica Apollinar?
I'll pass.
Rodrigo Argueta?
Hello.
I'm sorry, Rodrigo, I couldn't hear you. Can't hear you, Rodrigo.
Said no. You hear me now?
I hear you saying no.
Thank you. Nia Bediako?
Yeah.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brazon?
Oh, no.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Heather Gray? Campbell Johnson?
No.
You see it passes. Kimberly Orendorf? Can't hear you, Kimberly. Okay. Laura Priebus?
No.
Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel.
I heard Marcel in here, and I think she got dropped off of that.
Is that Marcel talking?
That was Nia.
Oh, how do you vote, Marcel?
I have to get her back
Okay.
Nia's going to call her for us.
Oh, okay. Tracy Rosenberg?
I vote yes.
Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Bruce Wolf?
No.
Okay. Dan Siegel, are you there? Kimry Orendorf, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Jessica Apollinar, how do you vote?
That will have to be a yes.
Okay. I'll vote yes. Ifia Wangaza votes yes. Marcel Reed, are you with us?
Afia, this is Summer.
Yes.
I'm going to vote on this one, please.
Okay. I want to change my vote to a no. Okay. And how do you vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 no. And 1 abstention.
So the motion fails. Okay. If you can note it for the record, please. 10 yes. 8 no. Motion fails. Next. All right. Bylaw. Proposed bylaw amendment. Sorry, not motion.
Madam Chair?
Yes. 3 seconds.
Point of information.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please clarify if I understand it correctly, those people who are not on this call, that's basically a no vote. We need a... Is it 2/3 out of the 22 board members?
No, just a majority, but that means you have to have 12 people to make anything pass. Yes.
All right. So if you're abstaining and if you're not on the call, then you're in essence voting no.
Well, functionally, you're not contributing to it passing, that's for sure. So.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you, everybody. Proposed amendment number 3.
But just point of information,
yes,
the first amendment took 15 minutes, and the second one took 13 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're going to be it's going to be a really long meeting if the others go this way.
Well, it's I still think we're probably making good time for us, considering it takes 45 minutes to get to agenda approval. But I hear you. We're 3 times over what our allocated time is, so just keep that in mind, folks,
okay,
in terms of getting to other things. But thank you for that reality check, Bill. I appreciate that. And I will read.
Point of personal privilege.
Who is that?
This is Ifia.
Ifia, go ahead, please.
And I hope that as much time, much attention is paid to the amount of time that's used to presume to lecture the members of the board as the board members of the board spend in deliberating.
I always hope the members of the board deliberate, and I'm only responding to the pointing out of how long things are taking. So, not intended to lecture, but we spend 45 minutes on agenda approval at every meeting. So, anyway, let me read proposed amendment number 3.
We have every right to.
I'm sure we do. I find wasting my time to be one of the most pleasant
without
things
being denigrated.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair,
Can we please move on?
I would like to. Bill pointed out that it's taking us three times longer than allocated, which I still think we're making good time on these items. And the fact that we waste a lot of time at front end meetings is just a reality. So proposed amendment number 3, re-eligibility of delegates, Article 4, Section 2A. Background, under the current bylaws, a delegate, LSB member, may not be a candidate for public office, even if he, she is only running to get attention to issues and does not have a realistic chance of winning. This proposed amendment would allow a delegate to be a candidate for public office, but would require relinquishment of the position if elected. Existing text, a delegate shall be deemed to have resigned the position of delegate if she, he becomes a candidate for public office or accepts a political appointment during his, her term as a delegate. This restriction shall not apply to civil service employment by governmental agencies. And not to lecture again, but please mute your phones. Proposed text, a delegate shall be deemed to have resigned the position of delegate if he, she attains public office or accepts a political appointment during his, her term as a delegate. This restriction shall not apply to civil service employment by governmental agencies. So this one is fairly self-explanatory. If you are running for office, it does not disqualify you. If you attain office, it does. Following directors of proposed amendment number 3, Bill Crozier, Summer Reese, Carolyn Burden, Teresa Allen, Jessica Apollinar, Alex Steinberg, and Marcel Reed. Discussion?
Ken?
This is Lydia.
Ken and then Lydia. And then Bill?
I'm going to speak against it. So
go ahead.
Anybody who's going to speak for it should probably come next, considering it's fine.
Well, just go ahead,
speak
Ken,
up, please.
Can I be heard?
Yes, Ken, go ahead. Speak loudly and clearly.
Okay.
You're a little...
Yeah. It's an inherent conflict of interest to be running for office and being on the LSB because even outsiders, as we saw in Oakland, can win. The current mayor of Oakland came through on the 26th round with maybe 25% of the vote. So the concept that it's unrealistic that somebody's going to get elected and they're running on principle is inappropriate. It creates a conflict of interest because they may spend their time doing electioneering activities rather than serving on the board, and also will be sensitive to how they act because they're in the public eye as a figure running for office, and that will compromise their integrity as a board member on how they vote. It also may influence the station in that a candidate for a prominent office like mayor or governor may elicit airtime from some of the programmers or any kind of even of allies. There's just too much conflict. You either run for public office or be on the PNB, and you shouldn't bifurcate your activities in that regard.
Thank you,
so
Ken.
I oppose the motion.
Thank you, Ken. The amendment. Lydia and then Bill. Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, I'm opposed for different reasons. I would just assume do away with that whole section, whether it's the advisory positions or whatever. We've lost exceptional people on both sides, actually most on the majority board side, like Maria Armudian and Donna Warren, who was the Green Party candidate. And, anyway, the list goes on, right? So I have no use for this whole section. I don't think that... sitting on a board has ever disqualified anyone, particularly from a 501c3. It is the actions. In other words, if you're on air and you don't give equal time to candidates, da 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 da, and anybody can do that. You don't have to be a public official to do that or on an arts commission or anything of that sort to violate those things in terms of 501c3. That's about lobbying. So I think there would be an uproar if anybody was, who was elected was lobbying for particular legislation, but it happens more with people who actually are not elected. And I know that we had our previous director last year who was also a Green Party candidate and also from Texas, and I assume that that has something to do with this amendment, but the point being that I wouldn't have objected to having him serve on the board. We're all very hard pressed to find enough people who are even interested in running for our boards and sitting through all of these meetings and so forth.
So for a different reason, I would oppose that. I have to say, however, I think at the local level, the other reason is because what Ken says, I think that that's going to be the thinking at the on our LSBs.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're at time, folks. We have a motion to...
We haven't had a pro statement.
Do we have a pro statement? Is there someone who wants to be pro on this?
Yeah, I do. It's Bruce.
Is that Bruce?
Yeah.
All right, so can we be a little flexible here, people, and take a vote on time to just hear one pro, and then maybe we can move on this? Go ahead, Bruce.